Good morning, and welcome to Truth Unchanged and Unchanging, the radio ministry of First Church of Merrimack, New Hampshire. We'll have more information on our church at the end of today's program. Today, Pastor Matthew Judd is continuing his series of messages on the Gospel of the Apostle John. Today's sermon is titled, Entering into His Labor, and is based on John chapter 4, verses 31 through 42. Please listen with me now to Pastor Judd.
For our scripture reading this morning, we'll begin in chapter 4 and verse 24, and we'll read to verse 42. And we'll be specifically focusing upon verses 31 through 42 for our meditation. Hear then God's holy and inspired word, John chapter 4, beginning in verse 24. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. And at this point his disciples came, and they marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no one said, What do you seek? Or why are you talking with her? The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, Come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to him. And in the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Therefore the disciples said to one another, Has anyone brought him anything to eat? Jesus said to them, My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap for that which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. Then they said to the woman, Now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Having heard the word of God, what is your response?
Amen.
Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, it is a privilege to work together with someone else who is an expert in their field, particularly if you want to learn a certain trade. It is a joy and a privilege to work along someone who is a master craftsman. I think we all understand that, and we recognize the privilege of doing something like that. Well, as we return back to Samaria, to the city of Sychar, to Jesus at Jacob's well, it is here that the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is the master craftsman, and can I say it, the master evangelist, he invites us to join him in his labor, to work alongside him, to work with him. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ calls you to join him in his labor in this very passage before you. And so if the Lord Jesus Christ is calling you, you individually and you as a congregation, to join him in his labor, there are several questions that we need to ask. In fact, there are 4 questions that you and I need to ask today of this passage. The first question is this: what is his labor? What is the labor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we read in this passage that, first of all, his labor is that which is food to his soul. His labor is that which is food to his soul. The disciples had come back to him as he was there at the well of Jacob and as he was there conversing with the woman of Samaria. But the woman of Samaria has now departed back into the town of Sychar. She has gone within the city gates, and there is Jesus with the disciples who have returned back with food, provisions, which they have in fact acquired in the city of Sychar. And they request him to eat. We've brought you the food which you need, and now it's time to eat. But Jesus says something interesting in verse 32. I have food to eat of which you do not know. And then in verse 34, he says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. What is the labor of the Lord Jesus Christ, which he calls you to join together with him in? It is a labor which is food to his soul. It is that which satisfies him at the deepest part of his hunger. It is the labor of doing his Father's will. It is the labor of finishing his work, the work which the Father gave him to do. And as this passage then unfolds, we see that it is a work of proclaiming and a work of gathering. A work of proclaiming. The Father commissioned his beloved Son to proclaim glad tidings, to proclaim glad tidings to those who are in darkness, to those who are in desperation, to those who are lost in their sin and in their misery, to those who are thirsting and dying of that thirst. And Jesus finds great satisfaction, his hunger satisfied in proclaiming the glad tidings which find the source of refreshment in himself, in the Father's provision of him. But he's not just one who is proclaiming in terms of his labor. It is also a labor of gathering. The Father has also commissioned his Son to seek and to save that which is lost, to gather the outcast, to be the one who gathers ones safely into his barn. He has come to bring you safely into his barn. It's spoken of in terms of reaping and gathering together into everlasting life. There is the barn, which he gathers his people into, the place of safety and security. And so this is the labor of the Lord Jesus Christ, a labor of proclaiming, a labor of gathering. It is a work of sowing, to use the agricultural metaphor which Jesus here introduces, and it is a work of reaping, harvesting. This is then the labor, the food, which satisfies my deepest hunger, Jesus says. It satisfies my deepest hunger because it enjoys the Father's smile. And it rejoices together with the Father over the seed which has been sown and the crop which is harvested. And so the disciples come back and they've brought food. And Jesus isn't eating, but Jesus says, I have food of which you do not know. Food which truly satisfies, even to the satisfying of the soul. And it is to do the will of the one who sent me and to finish his work. And so, it is this labor as this passage unfolds, which Jesus calls us to join him in. This labor of proclaiming and gathering. This labor of proclaiming him as the place of refreshment. Him as the one in whom there is forgiveness for all sin. Him as the one in whom there is safety, security, and everlasting life. Him who is the barn in which we are gathered safely. Here we are called to be a proclaiming people and a gathering people to join the Lord Jesus Christ in his labor. So this is the labor. And Jesus calls his church. Everyone who has indeed had their thirst quenched by the ever-living waters which come from Christ, he calls you to join him in his labor, this labor which is food to the soul. But a second question we need to ask of this passage, how? How may you join him in this labor? How may you join him in this labor which he sets before you today? Well, there are two important things which are necessary if you are going to join the Lord Jesus Christ in his labor. The first is you must open your eyes to see, presuming that your thirst has been quenched by the Lord Jesus Christ. You then must open your eyes to see. In verse 35, Jesus says, do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Really, Jesus is saying, don't say that. You may be looking at the fields that surround the city of Sychar, but you need to look past the fields. Don't think that the harvest time, that the reaping time is yet 4 months off. Behold, Jesus says, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. Jesus says, open up your eyes and see. See that there is a harvest which actually is right before your eyes. There are ones who need to hear of me, the Messiah, the one sent of the Father, the one by whom God has so loved the world. There are ones around you which need to hear of me, the fulfillment of all of the prophecies of the Old Testament, the fulfillment of the great covenant of grace, which began in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, to hear of the seed of the woman who has come to save sinners. There are ones who need to be gathered in. There are ones who need to be gathered into the safety of the barn of life everlasting, safely into the barn, into me. Behold, I say to you, open up your eyes and see. Do not be blind to the needs all around you. There are ones who are perishing in their sins, and they need to hear. And so Jesus answers the question, how? How may you join him in his labor? Well, you first of all need to open your eyes. You need to open your eyes. He goes on in terms of expanding this a bit in terms of verse 36. And I'm going to read it as we would translate it more woodenly from the Greek language. And the one who is reaping is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, that both the one who is sowing and the one who is reaping may rejoice together. Now, as you hear that read in a more wooden, literal translation, the thing which should stand out to you is that it's all in the present tense. It's all something which is actively going on right now. And so when Jesus says, open up your eyes and see, behold that the fields are white unto harvest, can you not see that in fact the reaping is taking place right now? The work has already begun. It's already in progress. And what is the work which is already in progress? Well, the work which Jesus was doing when the disciples were in the city getting food. The work which the woman of Samaria is doing right now, as she has left her water pot at Jacob's well, and has gone back into the walls of the city and is speaking. Do you not see, Jesus says, that the work is actually already in progress? He emphasizes the present tense reality. The present tense reality, a work which is resulting in joy, deep, satisfying, rejoicing, both in the one who is sowing and in the one who is reaping as they together are rejoicing. And so Jesus says, if you are going to join me, if you are going to join me in my labor, you need to open your eyes to see. To see the needs around you, but also to see that this work is going on right now. And as you see that the work is going on right now, you do not want to be left out. For your thirst, your dying thirst, has been quenched, has it not, in Christ? Well, this is what follows. That you would join him in his labors. Open your eyes to see. But there's a second component of how you may join him in his labor. And it's this: open your ears to hear. Don't only open your eyes to see. Don't only open your eyes to see the needs around you in terms of people who are perishing. Open your ears to hear what I say. Verse 38, I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. What is Jesus saying? What is he saying to the 12 who are there with him? He's saying, just as the Father has sent me, and my food is to do the will of the one who sent me and to finish his work, just as the Father has sent me, so I send you. I have sent you to participate in this work, to participate in this labor. I have been commissioned by my Father, and I commission you. You now stand poised to enter into my labor. You have been called to join me in my labors. Open your eyes and see the labor which is going on right now and progressing, but do not stand on the sidelines. Hear what I say to you, that I myself have sent you to the harvest, to be a harvester in the work which I am in fact doing. And so here, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the woman at the well has gone back into the city, and as the disciples have come back to Jacob's well, and as there's a lull in the activity, as it were, Jesus calls us, calls you, calls all of his people who have had their thirst quenched by him to join him in his labor. We see what his labor is, and we begin to see how we may join him in his labor. But a third question arises as we look at this text more carefully. What does this labor look like? Okay, I've heard what the labor of Christ is, a proclaiming and gathering labor. I have begun to understand that if I am going to join the Lord Jesus Christ in his labor, that I need to have open eyes and open ears. But what does this labor look like? What does it look like? The end of verse 38, Jesus says, others have labored and you have entered into their labors. Others stand as having labored, and you have entered into their labors. You can imagine being one of the 12. They're all a little bit slow, kind of like us. We already saw that, right? Did somebody else bring them food to eat? You can imagine the 12 hearing Jesus say that. Others stand as having labored, and you have entered into their labors. And you can imagine them turning to one another and kind of whispering, what's he talking about? We don't understand. Is he talking about Moses? Is he talking about the Old Testament prophets? Is he talking about John the Baptist? Well, who are these people who have already labored and we're entering into their labors? I don't see anybody else around except for Jesus and us. So what is Jesus driving at? Well, it's at this moment, and you have to indeed put yourself in the scene, that something is happening. Something is stirring. There's commotion on the horizon. What's happening? What's happening? There is a group of people who are gathering together, and this group of people begins to emerge from the town walking towards them. We know that that's what's going on because we're told earlier in these verses that the woman who told the townspeople about Jesus listened to her, and then we hear in verse 30, then they went out of the city and came to him. So there's commotion that's happening. There's this group of people that are emerging from the town and are headed straight that way. And it's as if Jesus, answering their question and their misunderstandings and their inability to grasp what's going on, simply points with his hand and shows them, here it is. Here it is. The field which is white unto harvest. Here it is, the result of those who have already been laboring. And the immediate context isn't Moses has been laboring, or the Old Testament prophets have been laboring, or that John the Baptist has been laboring. The immediate context is, I have been laboring. For while you were away getting physical food, I was giving water of life to a woman parched and thirsty, broken and bruised, shamed and ashamed, and a fountain has begun bubbling up in her. And that fountain is bubbling up not just to everlasting life, where she is one who is being harvested into the barn, the safety of the barn of everlasting life, but that fountain is bubbling up so that she cannot remain quiet. She has had her thirst quenched, and she now is speaking the word. She now is laboring. It is I who have been laboring. Laboring with this woman of Samaria, this one, this outcast, this one whom no one would speak to nor touch. It is I who indeed have caused her thirst to be quenched, and she now is entered into the labor. And Jesus says, you have entered into their labors, mine and hers. This is the immediate application, isn't it? You may be wondering, why are these Samaritan dogs coming out towards us? We are trying to get out of here as fast as we can. Surely there can't be any work for us to do here. And you can imagine the attitude, the heart attitude of the disciples. We're going to get in and get out as quick as we can and be on our way. We don't want to spend any more time on Samaritan soil. But they failed to see. They failed to see that Jesus has been at work. It was necessary for him to come to Samaria and to travel through Samaria, to have this appointment with the woman at the well, and this woman to have her thirst quenched, and this woman at the well to indeed have a fountain bubbling up where she cannot remain silent but enters into the labor of the harvest. And now, will you not look up to the horizon and see? Here is what it looks like. While you are off buying food, while you are eager to get away, the Samaritan woman has been sowing the seed. Oh, it has been a simple message, hasn't it? It's not as if she had to go to seminary in order to be useful in the labor, in order to join Jesus in his labor. Her message was quite simple. Come and see. Come and see. Could this one be the Messiah? Could this one be the Christ? Jesus has been sowing the seed. Jesus has been reaping and harvesting and gathering the outcast. And the Samaritan woman who has been gathered unto Jesus and now bubbles up with a fountain of life in her is sowing the seed and entering into his labors and saying, come and see. You see, this isn't a call to apostolic ministry. This is a call to active everyday mission. This is not a call to apostolic ministry. What Jesus here is saying is that all who have had the deepest thirst of their hearts quenched by me are sent into the harvest to join me in my labors. The woman of Samaria is the profound pattern. Don't miss that. She is the profound patterned for apostles. She is the profound pattern for preachers. She is the profound pattern for elders, for deacons. She is the profound pattern for all who have tasted and seen that the Lord Jesus Christ alone can satisfy. Oh, isn't God good? Isn't he so gracious? She has found refreshment in Jesus. Her thirst has been quenched. Her shame has been covered. She is clothed in Christ. And isn't this exactly what the prophecy in Isaiah chapter 62 said would take place? You also, says Messiah, you shall also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no longer be termed forsaken, nor shall your land anymore be termed desolate, but you shall be called Hephzibah. My delight is in her. Your land shall be called Beulah, married. For the Lord delights in you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. Oh, I have set watchmen, Messiah says, to proclaim the goodness of the Lord. And here is one. The woman of Samaria, behold the fruit which grows from one poor sinner who has been gathered into the barn of life everlasting. Verse 39 says, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because on account of the word of the woman who testified, he told me all that I ever did. And it is her testimony which leads many in the city to urge Jesus, to ask Jesus something in verse 40. So when the Samaritans had come to him, now they've made it from the city walls. They have beaten a path down to Jacob's well, and there they come face to face with the Savior on the basis of the testimony of the woman. We don't even know her name. And they make a request. They urged him to stay with them. We can also translate it this way. They asked him to abide with them. It's a word which John, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, will use abundantly later on in the gospel. Of the intimacy and fellowship and communion that we have in the restoration work of Jesus. Will you not abide with us? And we read in verse 40, and he abode with them for 2 days. And so the testimony of the woman who had joined Jesus in his labor leads them to request of Jesus that which is most necessary, abide with us, that we may abide with you. Oh, did they understand fully what they were asking? Perhaps not. But we read in verse 41, and many more believed on account of his own word. Then they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of what you said. Oh, what you said was true. For we ourselves have heard him And we know that this is truly the Savior of the world, the Messiah. We haven't just heard about Jesus now. We have heard Him. And now we know. He is not just the Savior of the Jews. He is not just the Savior of Judah. He is the Savior of the world, even of Samaritans. And so this is what this labor looks like. And note, there's no flashy miracles which Jesus does in Samaria. There's no signs and wonders. It's just the simple word of testimony. Come and see. Come and see. Abide with me. We know that this is truly the Savior of the world. And so today, the Lord Jesus Christ calls you to join Him in His labor. We have seen a thumbnail sketch of what His labor means in this passage, a proclaiming and gathering labor. We have seen how we may join Him in this labor. Open your eyes. Open your ears. And we have seen a bit of what this labor looks like. But there's one last question as we come to a close this morning. And it's this. So what about you? What about you? Will you join the Lord Jesus Christ in His labor? We recognize what a privilege it is to work alongside of a master craftsman. Jesus invites you, you who have tasted the thirst-quenching waters of life in Him. He invites you to join Him in His labor. In this labor, it's not a call to be an apostle or an evangelist with a capital E or a pastor or an elder or a deacon. It's a call to be an active, everyday Christian on mission. And so what about you? Do you sense the privilege of what Jesus is calling you to? Or are you afraid? Oh, there's nothing which strikes fear into our hearts perhaps more than testifying of Jesus. I might be rejected. I might be ignored. I might be disrespected. I might be thought less of. But your fears must be overcome with the amazing privilege that Jesus here calls you to join Him in His labor. And so let me suggest 6 short prayer requests for you this week. You may not remember all 6 of them. That's okay. But there's a certain flow to them which makes sense. As we look at this passage in John chapter 4, the first prayer request for you to cry out is, Lord, open Your fountain to flow inside me. That's what Jesus had promised to the woman at the well. Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Will you pray that this week? Will you pray that? Lord, open Your fountain to flow inside me. Because if the fountain isn't flowing inside you, you'll never join Jesus in His labor. You'll still be parched, dying of thirst. But a second prayer to pray. Lord, increase my hunger for this work, for Your work. It flows from the passage, doesn't it? I have food to eat of which you do not know. Food which satisfies the hunger more than any bread, any delicious dish that you can put into your mouth. And so will you pray, Lord, increase my hunger for this work, that I might have an appetite and that my appetite might indeed be patterned after your appetite and hunger, Lord. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. A third prayer. Lord, open my ears to hear your call of sending me. Sending me. Open my ears to hear. A fourth petition. Lord, open my mouth to speak your praise, even for the Samaritans around me. A fifth petition. Lord, open my heart to care for those who are perishing. So open your fountain to flow. Increase my hunger for this work. Open my ears to hear. Open my mouth to speak. Open my heart to care. And lastly, open my eyes to see. Open my eyes to see the fields which are ready for harvest. The fields which are ready for harvest in my own home. As I interact with my spouse, if I'm married. As I interact with my parents, if I'm a child in the home. As I interact with my brother or my sister in my home. As I interact with my children, if I have children in the home. Open my eyes to see. Here's the field. Open my eyes to see the fields ready for harvest in my extended family. My grandchildren. My grown children. My great-grandchildren. Open my eyes to see the fields ready for harvest in my church community, where we point one another to the fountain of living waters, where we care together for the covenant children of the congregation and our instruments in Christ's hands in being the instruments to see them raised up unto a mature faith of drinking from the living waters of Jesus. Open my eyes to see the fields ripe for harvest in my church community as God brings visitors here, as I bring visitors here to come and see. Open my eyes to see the fields ready for harvest in my neighborhood. The neighbor whom I have lived beside perhaps for 12 years and have never spoken to them about what Christ has done for me. Do you see? That's where the woman starts. Jesus has done this for me. The neighbor who perhaps I've lived next to for 17 years and have never invited to come to church. Open my eyes to see the fields ready for harvest in my workplace. And then I will join you in your labors. You know, the chapter before us, John chapter 4, there's a fascinating progression. Jesus goes from being, in the eyes of others, a mere Jew. How do you, a Jew, ask of me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink of water? Jews don't have dealings with us. He goes from being a mere Jew in the eyes of others to being a prophet in the eyes of others, to being the Messiah in the eyes of others, to being the Savior of the world in the eyes of others. You see, this is the work. This is the labor which has been indeed entrusted to Christ and which He invites us to enter in. That we would see ones move from seeing Jesus as a mere Jew, perhaps to a prophet and Messiah, to the Savior of the world. And so come and see, is that what should be first and foremost on your lips. Come and see the one who has done all things for me. We have a monthly fellowship lunch, a perfect time to invite people to come to worship. They can have a free lunch. We can spend time with them, get to know them around the breaking of bread. There's a Thanksgiving Day service coming up. So many people don't even know why there is a day of proclamation of giving thanks. Thanks to who? Do we thank one another? How strange, a church that has a Thanksgiving Day service to give thanks to God. A day of thanksgiving and praise. We have a carol sing coming up on December the 4th. Where we are going to seek to proclaim the good news of the living waters of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has come in the flesh to save sinners, are the ones you can invite, encourage to come. The bar is lower, perhaps, than having them come to morning or evening worship. A Christmas Eve service that's coming up. Again, the bar is lower for a lot of people. It's an occasion, an opportunity to enter into his labors. Oh, will you take these six petitions? Lord, open your fountain to flow. Increase my hunger for this work. Open my ears to hear your call. Open my mouth to speak your praise. Open my heart to care. Open my eyes to see the ones whom you want me to speak to. And then we'll leave the results to Jesus, as he's the only one who can satisfy the thirst and forgive the sin and bring into the barn of life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in this morning for Truth Unchanged and Unchanging. We hope you will join us again next Saturday. The First Church of Merrimack is an Orthodox Presbyterian church located in southern New Hampshire. If you would like to learn more about us, you can find us online at fcmnh.org. Once again, that is fcmnh.org. The First Church of Merrimack meets each Lord's Day for public worship at 10:45 a.m. and 6 p.m. If you do not have a home church, we cordially invite you to visit us at First Church. Our meeting house is located at 7 Babuzik Lake Road in Merrimack, New Hampshire. It's at the corner of Daniel Webster Highway and Route 3, directly across from Merrimack Town Hall. And now, quoting from our church's first covenant of 1771, "To God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be ascribed exalted praises. Amen."